One practice that my priest group, the Companions of Christ, has is to do monthly honorings of guys whose birthdays fall in that month. We have a gathering the third Friday of the month, dinner among other things, and that's the chance to do this. And so I had a turn where I was asked to honor my friend Father Michael Rapp. And so I decided to honor him by comparing him to the video game Frogger. And maybe that doesn't sound like a very encouraging honoring, but I think it turned out really well. And I know he felt honored as I described his kind of perseverance, of agile, creative, things like that. And so it was beautiful to bring this forward, to share this with Mike and in front of all the brothers. And we do that honoring because it's so good to work against so often the culture of complaint, of negativity, of criticism that can kind of fall into groups and groups of guys getting together and, you know, grouse about this, that, and the other thing. And so it's good to have instead a practice that works against that, a good thing, because you simply can't beat something with nothing, right? You know, if you want to improve a situation, you need to work towards creating a better one. And you can't just kind of wait and hope things will change. You need that something, you know, to be able to overcome what you already have. And so the biblical version of you can't beat something with nothing is really what Jesus is talking about today, that real repentance means that we produce good fruit. We see this in the gospel, how Jesus links this together between the little discussion he has with the people and then the parable that he gives. So the people come up to Jesus mentioning this fact of how Pilate had killed these Jews at the temple, and, you know, and wondering, well, perhaps maybe those people, yeah, maybe they really had it coming, you know, because that's kind of the traditional view, that simply bad things happen to bad people. But Jesus doesn't lament so much what Pilate did, nor that catastrophe of the collapsing wall. Instead, what he laments about them is that people are wasting the time that they've been given to repent. That they have this time, and are they really using it as Jesus himself is calling them to use it? And so he challenges them, kind of puts it back on them. Well, what are you doing with your time you have left? If their time is done, you still have something to answer for. Then Jesus offers this parable of the useless fig tree. How it's just there, it's just exhausting the soil, it's producing no fruit, you know, and so the owner wants to simply chop it down. 3 years I've been looking for figs on this thing, and there's nothing. But the gardener in the parable says, you know, Master, please, a little more time, let me care for it, cultivate it, fertilize it, you know, literally in the Greek, put manure on it, you know, to see if this fig tree will change its ways and actually bear fruit. And so the tree is given more time, but a limited time, one more year to bear fruit. And so Jesus is telling the people that now is the time, and that we all have a limited amount of time. And there's this great call to bear fruit as a necessary end result of repentance. Real repentance means that we produce good fruit. Now, I was thinking about the fruit, you know, and so I did a search. I did a search on the word fruit in the Gospel of Luke just to see kind of what other things we have there. And what I found was that if you go back to Luke chapter 3, you have John the Baptist kind of in this confrontation with the Pharisees. And he actually brings up this point exactly. Luke kind of had already laid this message out through John the Baptist, and even before Jesus giving it to us in our reading today. This is what John the Baptist in chapter 3 told the Pharisees. This should sound familiar. He says to them, produce good fruits as evidence of your repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. You know, this kind of this presumption. For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." So John the Baptist affirms this as well. Real repentance means that we produce good fruit. Repentance, you know that word, it has a Latin root, but it comes out of the Bible from the Greek word metanoia. And what does it mean? It means that we have a change of thought, a change of kind of heart and attitude, but it doesn't end there. The change results then in new and good activity, indeed a new direction to life. You know, where sin, hamartia, is missing the mark. You know, metanoia gets my aim back and moves me towards what is good and to do that good. And so for the vision of faith, there's a correspondence between my inner change of heart and an outward way of acting. As John the Baptist said, good fruits as evidence of your repentance. And the reality is that they're very much mutually reinforcing. You know, as my heart changes, it motivates me to then give these outward fruits of these new and good ways of life. But then as I do those, it helps my heart along to have an even deeper change in attitude. And so these two dimensions are actually a beautiful reinforcing reality. But when one of them is missing, either empty gestures on one side where I do things but my heart's not really in it, or you know, my heart, you know, has this change of attitude, but it just kind of gets stifled because of my presumption and laziness and don't really do anything about it, repentance is not really true. I think our culture mistakenly enthrones feeling. But it isn't just a matter of whether I feel good or bad about my actions, but that I actually turn from bad actions and do good ones. So if we want to have true and fruitful repentance, we need to look not only at what we shouldn't do, but also at what we should be doing. You know, avoiding not just sins of commission, those kind of active bad things that I might do, you know, gossip, detraction, impurity, things like that, you know, that's part of it and an important part to not do sin. But at the same time, there are also these sins of omission, the different things that I've failed to do around faith, around hope, around charity. I think when people do an examination of conscience, you know, it's very easy to think, well, okay, I did these three things wrong. What about all the things I should be doing? You know, and if you look at old explorer maps of the New World, different places like that, you know, they'll have like the known spaces, and then there's just like a big empty area, usually stamped with terra incognita. We know there's land out there, but we really have no idea what's there. And I think those sins of omission are kind of like that terra incognita for us. You know, what are the good things that I should be doing, but I don't? We need this positive turn, this counter effort of the good, this bearing of fruit, you know, to have that real and lasting repentance. So the Catechism says this. It says, "Repentance for sin and confession may restore grace to a soul, but the removal of the ingrained disposition to sin or vice requires much effort and self-denial until the contrary virtue is acquired." That's something that we need to beat, you know, to beat that sin in our life. We need this counter effort for the good, this bearing of fruit. So what is the fruit anyways? You know, what are those things that maybe I'm not doing right now, but I ought to be? Well, I'll give you a big picture answer, but then each of us really needs to figure it out in our own lives as well. So doing my fruit search in the Gospel of Luke, you know, another time that it comes up is actually very early in the gospel, in the first chapter of Luke. I found that word not only in chapter 3 with John the Baptist talking to the Pharisees, but also from the words of Saint Elizabeth. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. And it's at the time when there's this visitation by Mary, carrying Jesus in her womb, coming to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who herself is pregnant with John the Baptist. And Mary comes and gives his greeting, and John the Baptist leaps in the womb of Elizabeth, and then Elizabeth has this great greeting and exclamation where Elizabeth says to Mary, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." You know, in this instance, the fruit is Jesus. But I think it applies to us. What is the fruit we are called to bear? It is to become more Christ-like. That is the positive work for us to do. How can we do that? What does that even mean? Well, if we know the scriptures, we know all about what Jesus is like, what we are called to become more Christ-like. Let me give you some examples. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, the beginning, you have the Beatitudes, which in many ways, you know, describe Christ himself. This poverty in spirit, meaning this radical dependence upon God the Father, of being meek, not giving in to anger, but being gentle with others, of seeking, hungering, and thirsting for righteousness, of being merciful, being clean of heart, that single-minded focus upon proper love and love of God, being a peacemaker. These are Christ-like fruits we are called to. Romans chapter 12. Bridget on our staff gave a great teaching a few Tuesdays ago about Romans focusing on this chapter and what are some things we're called to there. Anticipate one another in showing honor. Persevere in prayer. Exercise hospitality. You know, and hospitality can be a very broad thing, not just simply hosting at the house, but how do I welcome people in my encounters with them in my life, from the grocery store line to the intersection to my coworker to my spouse? Bless and do not curse. Do I bless and pray for those for whom I might be tempted to actually curse? Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. You know, how different than our celebrity culture. Instead, seek out the lowly, be with them. And ultimately, kind of sums it up by saying, do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. Maybe another thing would be, what are the virtues that you need to build up against the vices that tear you and others down instead? Gracious speech instead of complaining. Acts of generosity instead of selfishness. Intercession to God for someone instead of trafficking in gossip. More time in adoration or contemplating holy things rather than being mired again in the trash of the internet. There's so many incredible and good things that we are called to. Those fruits that are evidence of repentance, that deepen that repentance in our lives. You know, and it can be in really fun things. Maybe think about what video game do I want to compare my spouse to? I'll leave that as a separate exercise. All the days of our lives, Christ calls us to the ongoing work of repentance. It's not a one-time thing, but ongoing conversion in our life. And that real repentance means producing good fruit. God, the great I am, the one who, in simply this image of the burning bush, Moses was fearful to even come close to in the end, the one who says later in Exodus, "No man shall see my face and live," has given us his face in Jesus Christ, and has given us his face that we may become more like him. And he will provide. So have confidence in this adventure of bearing fruit. So what are the good fruits that you need to produce? Maybe most importantly, what are the good fruits that the Lord, the great I Am, wants you to produce?